This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now.
Our guest today is Sloan Delmont. For the last 17 years, Sloan has been on a journey of clearing and moving through trauma and limiting beliefs of her past and into a new space of authenticity, serenity, and balance. In that time, Sloan utilized EFT, also known as tapping, Reiki, which is energy work, and the spiral, which is a trauma therapy, as well as her own intuitive abilities to peel away the deep layers of programming that were wreaking havoc in her life. Her journey brought with it a purpose and passion for helping others navigate their own path of self-retrieval. Sloan's approach is based on providing non-judgmental support that allows her clients to step into the full embodiment of their power and light. She uses the benefits of her own life experiences to guide her clients through the negative effects of trauma, illness, and life challenges, and move them into a place where they uncover their own true essence. Sloan's work as an energy healer over the last decade or so has allowed her to understand that only by addressing our whole energy being can we achieve deep, lasting results. Using various modalities, both individually and in tandem, she helps her clients to stretch out of their comfort zone, recalibrate, and step into being able to align with their authentic selves, along with connecting to the inner serenity they have been seeking. Clients see Sloan for a variety of health issues, such as breast cancer, skin conditions, migraines, anxiety, stress, and depression, as well as other problems healing after surgery, or just simply having difficulty finding their way through life. Sloan's work is for anyone who's committed and ready to do deeper work. Please join me in welcoming our guest today, Sloan Delmont. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of When Spirit Calls. As you heard in the bio, our guest today is the lovely Sloan. Hello, Sloan.
Hello, Deanne. I'm so happy to be here.
I am so happy you're here. And you and I have had the pleasure of being in each other's circle for a good year now and really got to know each other. And, you know, you have such a profound ability to move through life and to look at it from a whole other perspective. And I really want to honor you for that and really helping us to see that we can look at things through a different lens. And so part of today is about us kind of understanding how you move through that experience for yourself. And what are the things that you do to help you to move through life as we know it? So why don't you start us off with a little bit of story time? As everyone who listens to this podcast know, I'd love to start with the story. Tell us about your background. Tell us about what led you to where you are now.
So, you know, it's been quite a journey, and I will be turning 60 this year. So it's quite the movement. But I'd say, you know, it started, I would say, around the time where I ended up marrying the man that I knew deep down inside was not correct for me. And, you know, and having the conversation with my father and saying, you know, I don't know if this is right. And I had this like deep nagging feeling down inside my gut, right? And then he said, you know, we'll just call it off. And then I said to myself internally and deep down inside, like, oh, this may not come again, right? And, you know, what if no one ever wants to marry me? And I wanted to have a family. And so, you know, I was like, oh, I'm just nervous. And I like pushed it off. But, you know, that was really the beginning of really showing me that I was not connected into myself. I wasn't able to trust myself, my intuitive abilities. And that kind of like started the journey. And, you know, and then I moved into getting really into yoga and natural cooking. But in the marriage, I was really like suffering as far as my soul felt like it was literally dying. And, you know, and so the marriage went for 17 years because I felt committed and I had all these issues around, well, you know, if I don't stay, then something's wrong with me and I can't make it work, right? So we go into all that judgment. And, you know, and so I ended up dissolving the marriage. And long and short, that led into other parts of my journey, because now I was a single mom. I was trying to run a business that I was building, which was a jewelry business. And, you know, and then being unhealthy at the core of myself, you know, and not ever processing what I was moving through. Plus, I had a childhood of abuse mentally and physically. And then I married a component of that as my husband, even though he wasn't physically abusive, it was a mental abuse in a different way, manipulating. But long and short, I ended up falling into a whole business catastrophe and, you know, and being over $100,000+ in debt. And even though I was doing yoga and meditating, I still was running at this high level of anxiety deep down inside. And so that's where the journey like started. And, you know, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And from that point, I also didn't realize I had this deep self-loathing. So I was carrying a lot of guilt, you know, like I broke up the family, you know, something's wrong with me that, you know, I had to do this and, you know, I'm dysfunctional somehow, whatever that looks like. And, you know, and as my ex-husband at the time, his mother, before she passed and before we got married, she put me like on this like trial. Because she was like, oh, your parents are divorced, your aunt's divorced, you know, like she was pinning out all these things that were wrong in my family. So here I was carrying all this guilt. And, you know, my kids were going through the stress of back and forth in different homes and all that. So underneath, I had all this floating. Plus, we don't talk about failure in this world, right? Everyone just talks about like, well, what's your success and where are you and how much money do you have? And, you know, and if you fail, like if you fail in class, if you don't get an A, you know, people hide, like it's like a disgrace. So I had all this loathing that here I failed. I failed huge in this business. And then I ended up having to sell my townhome and, you know, and it was just one big thing after another. But what I will say is like 2 years ago, after doing, you know, I got into Reiki, which was the basis of opening up, you know, my consciousness and coming more into the light. And that was a whole journey of 9 years for me and different levels. And then I stepped into this space of doing what's called the spiral, and I did deep root clearing, and that took things to another level. And, you know, and from there, I was like, oh, this is great. You know, I felt like I moved a lot of things and things were moving and I was working with clients, you know, but I still had this like roller coaster of, you know, feast or famine going on and, you know, and still a lot of underneath running the program of, you know, do I have worthiness? And, you know, and I still was carrying a lot of the guilt. So it's been a real journey. And then, you know, last year when we started working together, you know, it also taught me a lot of things in the process of last year when I had like a huge issue of, you know, having my platform fall apart and my stepfather went in for emergency heart surgery. It was just like one thing after another. And then I had to really say to myself, what's going on that I'm still having all these issues happen? And I started connecting into deeper energetic body work.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I do grounding and everything with the Reiki, but I never could really feel grounded. And why was that? And so I started really embodying clearing the nervous system, addressing the fact that the body stores so much and the ancestral patterning. That I was also like, I have a lineage of abuse of the family and scarcity and struggle, you know, and money issues, right? And that sits in our DNA. So that's what led me to what I do now.
Well,
Well, I thank you so much for sharing that story, because I don't, you know, I think that many of us go through a lot of those issues around that self-criticism and self-loathing. But you're right. Many of us don't talk about that. We don't talk about how we're beating ourselves up, how we're carrying this shame or this guilt about how we had to show up in life. And it sounds to me like your outer world was a reflection of the chaos that was happening inside of you. But if we don't know that, we don't know where to look. We look outside of ourselves for the solutions, right? We forget that we might have the solutions inside of us. But I do want to share this. I still don't believe that you're 60. I just cannot get over it. And folks, if you saw Sloan, if you ever find her on social media, you are going to agree with me, I know, because you will be like, she's got to be in her 40s. So you must be doing something right, is my point in that, Sloan, because you, in my mind, are in your 40s. There's no way that you're going to be turning 60. So, you know, where you maybe got some of the good DNA and ancestral energy there.
I'm just going to say, truly, I believe, one, it is the energy work. And, you know, and in the journey, I look at myself as being fortunate that I had double hip replacement. And I look at that as I know why that happened in so many ways, because I work with people that have had, you know, breast cancer and, you know, and had breast surgery and mastectomies and everything. And so as a woman, you know, to really understand what it means to have your body, you know, I don't want to say dismembered, but, you know, in that state, right? And to really understand what that feels like, I kind of felt like the journey with the hips was a way around, like, to connect with that, because my legs were always what I felt were like my best asset, right? And now I have two really long incisions on either side of my hips. And for a while, like, I was like, oh, like, what am I going to do? And I don't want to wear a swimsuit that's not shorts, right? And so that's a whole journey in itself. And to understand what people go through, you know, as far as, you know, not being well and illness and, you know, and going through surgeries like these. So I look at it that way. But I also look at it as, you know, the dragging of the body, the really not being in the body. And many of us, when we go through these traumas and trials and challenges, we leave the body and the body starts to suffer. And the body suffers because it's talking to us. And it's like, hey, you know, I heard this beautiful explanation the other day that I'll share, you know, like, that God starts to, like, send you a message, right? And it comes by, like, maybe you get a parking ticket, right? And then the next thing is maybe you have a car accident, right? And then the next issue is it starts to come out in the body. And then they said, and then sometimes it comes in a form of death. And that's because the soul is here to change, to learn, to do what it's supposed to do. But so many of us are not listening or don't pay attention, right? And so it really took me to the point of here, I had the hip surgery. And it was also like, how much stuff was I carrying with me, yeah, right? Yeah. And so there's like all these layers to things that really, to me, once you get into the body, really, and then you really understand that we are here to have this human experience. We're here to feel everything, but we don't want to. And so we go up into the head, mm-hmm, and we're like out of the body and we're running and running and running and running, right? And the body's like, hey, like, what about me? Don't leave me behind, right?
I know. I love this conversation so much because our soul, out of thousands of different bodies, it chose yours. It says, that's the body, that's the vessel that is going to get me to my highest evolution. And then we spend all this time,
you know, being mad at our body because we're not capable of running fast enough or jumping high enough or being able, oh my gosh, I got to feed my body. You mean I have to sleep for my body? Like all of these things. And so this poor body is just saying, oh, I feel so rejected all the time, isn't it? And you're seeing this in your clients where they're having these ailments or they're having this struggle and there's such a disconnect from the body. You guys, this is our divine vessel in which we get to feel all the feels and experience life on behalf of divine, right?
Yes.
And so tell us now, because you've done the Reiki, you're an Akashic expert as well, and you've got all these kind of modalities. And so now you've taken them, and what are you doing with that now?
So, yeah, so I have the Akasha reading, thanks to Deanne. So I'm trained very well. So what am I doing now? So basically, I've really taken it to, I created this class, master class called the Serenity Infusion, which I did briefly on your platform. And I'm really all about, and I truly believe this in the deepest part of my whole being now, that when we can all get into our bodies, when we can all understand that this beautiful temple houses the soul, which is what the Akash and everything is connected to, right? Then we will help to save this planet. We will shift humanity because it'll become a point of where we're all understanding that being present in the moment is really where we will get the most fulfillment. We will feel the most peace and love and the serenity, right? And so I'm working that into more of my platform, along with doing the clearing, which I always do, but like layering it in, because the more body work and the deeper you go in understanding the nervous system, the vagus nerve, and how much is being stored in your system. And I'll give like a really quick extension of that. It's like the other day I was doing some body work and all of a sudden I started thinking to myself, wow, where did I get my viewpoint of the world being really unkind? Mm-hmm. And where is this viewpoint coming from? Like all this stuff started coming up. And then I was like, wow, like I had a grandmother who saw the world that way. I had other relatives that I could go through. And I was like, okay, these rules, these ways, this way I'm seeing the world is not mine. Mm. So what rules are me, right? What's really my rule? And I'm going to rewrite that. And I don't like to say, you know, it is belief system, yes. And I don't like the word really blocks. It's not that. It's just this uncovering of, you know, like, is that really mine? Like, you know? Yeah. And you don't really come to that point until you start to really let this stuff move up out of the body.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, because we store it. We store
it.
And so, you know, I'd love to share some tips and tools for the audience. You know, what are the things, what are your go-tos for getting in your body? Or how can we more deeply connect? Because obviously, you went through a great deal of trauma through, you know, abusive homes and, you know, and then having a business fall apart. And so you moved through a lot of those things. What were the things that really helped you in that? What were the things that really brought you to where you are now?
Well, I'm going to say, like, when I moved through them, I didn't really move through them. I was kind of like spinning through them like a cyclone, you know, truly. But when I finally started to, so the Reiki was, I would say, really, you know, the yoga, I was very much into yoga, but I did all different yogas. But the one yoga that truly started to move things was I was huge into Kundalini, which no one really talked about, you know, 15 years ago. And I really loved it. It was a lot of deep breath work, but if you really get into the body and you can really move things. And that was, I guess, like the foreshadowing of where I am now. But then moving into the Reiki and, you know, and I believe that it connected me deeper into, you know, what do I believe in, you know, and because I also have shamanic training and I, you know, was trained in the shamanic, I really connect with the earth and I really am a nature lover. And I do get that from one of my grandmothers who, yeah, you know, we used to walk the river banks and walk in the river when it was low and, you know, and be outside. And so to me, that's a really big thing that most of us don't do, is really to connect into nature. You know, people laugh, oh, tree huggers, blah, blah, blah. You know, people laugh at all that. But I literally breathe in. I put my face into the trunk of the tree and I breathe in and I stand on the roots of the tree. But, you know, all in sacred respect to the tree. I ask for the energy. But that's really our charging pod. That's what I say to everybody. You know, you're the iPod. You need to go in the charger. And the charger is not sitting in front of the TV. These devices deplete us in so many ways. And we have the largest group of autoimmune disease. I think there's 20 to 50 million people.
Yeah.
And that's because the body is so challenged right now. So, yeah, so being outside, you know, go listen to the river, go listen to a waterfall, get off the phone. Like, I'm a big, like, deplug for a little while. And that's, I think, another big thing. We're all scrolling and scrolling and, like, it's this constant information input that I really find very overloading to the system.
Yeah. I love this idea of considering the trees and nature as your charging station. I think that's just, I love that. And I'm a big nature fan too. And it grounds me every time, but I love that perspective of seeing that as my charging station and really allowing, I mean, we are nature. And so when we go into nature, it's a coming home in a way, right? Like you say, it is.
Yeah, it is a coming home. We are Mother Earth. What we go back to the dirt because we are that. We have all of her in us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where there's such a disconnect. But you know, like you said, it is coming home. That is home. Earth and this planet and nature is truly our home. And that's where, I mean, I can't see anyone not feeling their soul being fed outside.
Right? Yeah, I agree. This is going to be a little bit kind of a side topic, but I'm curious and I'm feeling called to ask you about it. There's been a lot of people talking about how, you know, the world is starting to take us away from our true natural state. And there's people talking about this transhumanism of AI starting to be embedded into our nature, into our bodies. And I mean, even conversations about, you know, our biology and things like that seem to be coming up a lot. Do you have any fear around us getting farther from our nature? What is your perspective on that? Are there things that we might be able to do to kind of combat this idea that we're becoming technology instead of becoming more into our natural state and our truth of who we are?
Well, I think that it's all, you know, it's all a perspective. So, you know, fear is fed throughout. That's part of the program that's running, right? And so, you know, like looking at, and like you and I had this conversation when I had all the issues with my technology, right? And coming into a space of honoring it. And I feel that, you know, technology, we always are advancing. That's what we're supposed to do. It's just like the Reiki energy has advanced and advanced into the holy fire. Yeah. You know, but it's how we embrace it. It's how we really interact with it on our own, in our own way, and what we allow. And so I think that's also the issue of where do we feel disempowered all the time? Right. And most of us do because we're not in the body and we feel that, you know, like I had a client message me, she was going for an aspersion or something with the heart. And she said to me, I have no control over anything right now at all. And I messaged her back and I said, you do. It's what you choose and what your perspective is, right? But I think so many of us have that. And at times I felt that way, you know, like, okay, what do I have control over, right? Like, okay, some things I don't, but the truth is it does come down. And with AI, it's really going to come down to we have the right and the ability to say no. Like, no, we are not allowing this. No, this is not where we want to go. No, I'm not accepting that. And there's a lot of people that are going off grid. There's a lot of people that, yeah, they're doing home gardening. They've taken their kids out of the school systems, right? They are the beginning, as we know, of the Aquarian, true Aquarian age, where people are going to start putting the boundaries up and saying, that's not what I want. And, you know, and the whole, you know, break off that we had in the United States from England, right? And this sovereignty and being, you know, our own country and all that, right? You know, that's really the energy that we're in, because this, you know, the Pluto Aquarius movement, where everything is stationed, happened in 1776, and also when the French Revolution took place. So you have all that uprise going. But yet, you know, we had the industrial age and everybody was, that was a shift. And yes, AI is going to be part of where we're going, but there is a great drive that we have to really be in control of it and not let it control us.
It is about our personal power and not losing us. Yes. You mentioned power a couple times, but you know, I think that we have kind of, many of us have given away that personal power, whether it was over COVID and getting vaccinated when you didn't really want to, or whatever that story was for you, maybe the opposite of that. But the point of it is to remind people to take their personal power back. And how do we do that? By getting into the body, by building that relationship. So you mentioned Reiki and yoga and nature were all helpful tools for you. But what if we just need something quick as I'm moving through my days? Maybe I'm getting busy. You know, are there any little tricks that you do that help you to stay grounded in your body as you move through your days?
Yeah. So I'm going to say my favorite is the pause, which many of us don't take. And, you know, and I used to be a knee-jerk reactor all the time. And I've still been tested around that, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, needed to pause, Sloan. But, you know, putting your hand on your chest and just taking that moment to be like, ooh, okay, let me just settle down. And then tuning into ourselves, which we never do. Hey, how am I feeling? Right? We're always outside, like with the radar going, you know, but we're not really saying, how am I feeling in this moment? You know, and someone messaged me the other day and I said, you know, let's go, you know, do like a little weekend or whatever. And she came back and said, oh, I'm busy till June. I can't do anything. I have the kids. I have the weekends. I have this, I have that. And I thought to myself, okay, like, yeah, like, where do you put the brake on? And as a mom, I used to do that too. I'm sure you know that. I mean,
I know that story. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, so then we just become so outside of everything. And then we literally, truly leave the body.
Yeah.
Because the body's just like, oh, geez, I can't even keep up with this craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I always say to my clients, we're human beings. We're not human doers.
Right.
And yeah. And Buddha became enlightened sitting under the tree, not running around the tree like a crazy person.
Oh, my gosh. And what a reminder for us. This has actually been coming up a lot for me. I went on a recent vacation. I was gone for 3 weeks. And the life that the Tahitian people were living was so much more relaxed and chilled and easygoing. And it was such a reminder that where we are in our kind of Western culture, it's so hyper-stimulated. We're conditioned to work, 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 and go, go, go. We're conditioning our children to be in this activity and that activity, always going. And then we've got the technology, the games, the addiction energy of like, hey, this will make you happy. And so we've become so lost. And I think that this is why your work is so powerful. And I love that suggestion of just putting the hand on the heart and just taking a breath and taking a minute. And I think it's something that we can do throughout the day to remind ourselves, like, okay, I am here, here I am. And people have heard me say that. You also, you know, raised the question of, you know, what am I feeling right now? And you're right. I don't think that's a question that many of us ask ourselves. But you said one earlier on when we were talking, and it was, is this mine? Is this mine? Is this even mine? You know, when we're having a feeling of anxiety or sadness or whatever. And I woke up feeling this like weird anxiety, and I had to ask, is this mine? I heard a no. So as soon as I heard the no, I was able to move forward and not get caught up in the story, right? Of like, oh my God, I got to deal with this. And what is it about? And right. Instead, I said, is this mine? I heard the no, done. I could then move on from there. So I think I wanted to remind people of asking themselves that question.
Well, and right now I'm going to say, you know, if you're empathic, which I'm sure a lot of people that tune into this are, so we're a lot more, you know, spidey sensed to everything. And the collective right now with what we're moving through, and we're going into this huge eclipse, lunar eclipse, full moon, right, around relationships and stuff, everyone is kind of like on edge. And so to really tune in, and in the morning, you know, before you even get out of bed, most people jump out of bed. But like you said, you know, I felt this way and I tuned in. I think that's the biggest thing, you know, not leaping out of bed, but tuning in and saying, what am I really feeling right this minute? Mm-hmm. And then if you're interacting with people all day, and that's why I love the Reiki, like, and you don't know how to shield your energetics and you don't know how to shield the body, you are absorbing, because we're a sponge, mm-hmm. and you're absorbing all this energy. And so if you live in the city, you know, like in New York, or like I'm in the city area, you know, there's a lot that you're picking up. I go to the food store and come home and I'm like, oh my God, like I feel like sauce.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah, I just walked through everybody's energy and thoughts that dropped all over the floor. Like, I need to clean myself. Yeah. And so a lot of times it's not ours, you know, that's the biggest thing. And if you have children and they're laying on you and you have a partner and you're sharing energy, you know, and you don't know where they've been during the day and who they've come in contact with. And, you know, I call it a mosh pit. It's like a mosh pit
of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And yet so many of us take, you know, that's why we get confused. That's why we can't see a clear path. That's why we have trouble managing our emotions, because we're picking up on so many other aspects. So I think that's important to just give us all some grace. Right. To just give us all some grace in that.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is the big thing, because most of us don't give ourselves grace.
Right.
And most of us. Yeah. And most of us are like, we started out saying the path I've been on, like all this critic is going all the time. Yeah. So grace is it. Exactly.
Finding some grace. How did you knock yourself out of the self-loathing? I'm curious. Like, was there anything in particular that you do or have done that helped you to like forgive and love yourself more deeply?
Yeah. So I'm going to say the Ho'oponopono, which if people don't know, yeah, you know.
Can you tell that to people what that phrase is, if in case they don't know?
Yeah. So Ho'oponopono is a Hawaiian prayer, and you can Google it, and it says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. But basically what it's saying is, God, I take full responsibility, which is a heavy load to do, that this is, you know, creation that has come from whatever it is, my thoughts, my beliefs, or, you know, whatever, right? It's just honestly like being and giving up everything to the point of, I'm just going to be okay, I'm going to accept this and just clear it. And so that I did, I've been doing a lot of that for a long time, you know, and then just looking at things where, you know, where am I criticizing myself all the time?
and, you know, and nitpicking things. And perfection was a huge issue for me, you know, not leaving the house. I didn't look right because I had a father that I would come down to go to high school in the morning and I would be all dressed and he could find the one thing on my face or something that looked wrong, right? And also then coming to a space of like, you know, people that are criticizing are also criticizing internally. And, you know, and society, though, has put so much of that on us.
Yep.
And yeah, and it's just, you can't maintain it. It's just not possible. Not
sustainable, right?
No.
I'm not. No. Well, I love the technique of the, I can never say it right,
Ho'oponopono.
And I love this aspect of just coming to acceptance. Right? Like we really are always doing the best that we know how in every given moment. And when we can come to that place of acceptance, it's like we find this deeper aspect of compassion for others and for ourselves as well. So I think that's really beautiful.
But I am going to say quickly, it is a journey. It is everyday work. You know, it's not, I'm not a perfectionist in it. I still have areas. I still have days. I still have stuff, you know, and just quickly, I had someone message me, well, actually a client I was talking to, and he said, you know, I've done all this stuff. Like, why, you know, like, why does this keep coming up? And the other issue is, really quickly, a lot of times when we get to the point, then we start to run into the weeds. Mm-hmm. And sitting with the discomfort or feeling the real feelings, many of us don't want to do. And that's really when you come into a space of really accepting the self. That's really the space you have to go into. And it's not fun.
Yeah, that discomfort. You know, we're so quick to be like, oh, the discomfort is bad. So get me out here. But the invitation is to accept that discomfort, to love that discomfort, recognizing there's value in the discomfort. And when we do that, it's like all of a sudden it just naturally starts to shift, right? Rather than us running away, escaping in whatever way. Yeah. Beautiful, Sloan. Well, I hope that we have shared some golden nuggets for people that are listening, especially for all of you that are self-criticizers and you're good at beating up on yourself. I hope that you heard something today that has just made you maybe shift your perspective or have an aha moment. Sloan, if people want to reach out to you, I know you have a little gift to offer everybody. What does that look like?
So one, I'm going to say, if you're interested, I always say Reiki is the best place to start. So I'm offering anyone that's listening to the podcast 20% off the Reiki 1 class. All you have to do is just say that you heard the podcast and you'd like to do that. I will say it is a gift that keeps giving in more ways than I can even explain. And then I do the Serenity Infusion workshop, and it's free. And I usually hold that monthly. It's via Zoom, so you can live anywhere in the Canada, in the US, or the world. And I'd love for you to join me. And then you can actually experience what I do with the body work and how to tune into your body. And you will feel a shift, as we experienced when I was on Deanne's group last week.
Yeah, we had spirit minds, and I just loved the Serenity Infusion. I mean, and we only got through a few steps of it, I think.
Yes.
Even what we did do already, I was so grounded. I was so laser focused for that afternoon. It was awesome. And that's something that, you know, it's something that's pretty simple for us to even do daily as a practice. So, you know, you guys, this is a wonderful gift, the Serenity Infusion. If you are interested in that, in the show notes will be Sloan's contact information. Please do reach out to her if you'd like your free pass to the Serenity Infusion and your discount on any of her upcoming Reiki classes and whatnot. Sloan, any final words as we wrap up for today?
I'm just going to say, you know, be patient and kind to yourself. I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, and I always say, if I had heard that and really had that guidance, you know, it's not shoulda, woulda, coulda, but, you know, earlier, I probably wouldn't have carried it so long, right? But, you know, it's all part of the journey. So if anyone is listening and
whoever is listening, I'm just going to say, like, start there, because that's where things will shift. And that's where you really need to start with you and nothing else.
Beautiful. I love that. So everyone, be a little kinder, a little gentler to yourself today and the rest of the days moving forward. Sloan, thank you so much. It's always a joy to hear your wisdom and your stories. So thank you for gracing us with your presence today. And for all of you listening, tune in again. We'll have a new episode for you in a couple weeks on When Spirit Calls. Bye for now.
So happy you could join us today, and we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca, and when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.